All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And again, we are in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, found in Luke chapter 18, verse 9 and following. Part of our Bible study, we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, giving us the opportunity to use a rebound technique. I see that we are all veterans here today, and therefore I will not explain it. We'll simply utilize it as the objective side of our spiritual life. It's the power source. So if you need to rebound, use it. If not, you can use this time for silent prayer. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege of gathering here to study your word. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us by these things in Christ's name. Amen. So, the Cosmic Panaceas, Gate 3, if you have your electronic version, it's on page 123. Same with the printed version. So, what are the Cosmic Panaceas? This is Cosmic 2, which is hatred towards the Word of God and working against the Word of God, Gate 3. It starts out with point A, greater good. All panaceas are based on the big state, little people idea. Somebody knows more than you do, and therefore the somebody, the big state, knows more than the people. And the myriad actions of the so-called progressive to whitewash the devil's world are always done in the name of the greater good. It's always in the greater good. And therefore, that's what a crusader is. They know everything, and they're going to impress it on everybody else, regardless if they want it or not. In contrast, of course, Christianity, we're not crusaders. We present information. If you don't want it, have a nice day. We don't crusade. We don't try to overtake the state or overtake societies or communities and mandate that people do this or do that. We're ready to provide information, but we don't force anybody to do anything. Quite a contrast. In terms of the progressives, we have different names for these people, and they've changed names over time, so I just like the term crusaders. I think today they call them far leftists or progressives, but it also occurs on the right, too, where some people on the right side of the political spectrum, they want to enforce their ideas on everybody else. Both are equally wrong. They're crusaders. See, they've got a greater good in mind, and of course that greater good is not rooted in Bible doctrine at all. And part of that greater good, of course, always goes down to this equality or equity thing. And that's the great law of utopianism, social utopianism. They're going to create a perfect world is what these creators want to do, either in the big picture or in the little picture, whether it's the global warming, the global crisis, or save the whales or hug the trees, whatever it is. That's what they want to do. And again, Satan is a time stealer, so they're working against Bible doctrine. But you got to be working for something. And they're working for His Majesty the Devil. And the code word is always equality. But it's really a lie. People that scream for equality, they don't want equality. They want superiority. They just use that as a buzzword to get you, get the simple-minded and people that know no Bible doctrine to get sucked into the vortex. But it's never about equality. Remember, that's the great lie of communism. We're all going to be equal. But some of the farm animals are more equal than other of the farm animals. We mentioned that from George Orwell, and that's a very nice short way to remember it. Communism and Stalinism, they admit that they have to kill a lot of people and that they're going to have a hierarchy of sort, but in the great by and by, trust us, we'll all be equal brothers. It's always a lie. It's a great lie. It comes straight out of the mouth of Satan. Satan said he wanted equality when he committed his sin, but actually he wanted superiority. But he used that trick with Adam and Eve, particularly with Eve. You're going to be equal to God. And that's what it's all about. And of course, when they committed sin and died spiritual death, they immediately engaged in human good by putting fig leaves over their genitalia, which is the most obvious different features between the two, for what purpose? To achieve equality. Now we're equal. We are equal, equal, equal. We got two eyes, a nose, a mouth, teeth, and that's about all we can see. And therefore, we're equal. And that's the great lie. And I have it in red here in the book on page 123. If you are right with people, then you are right with God. Right with people, then we'll be right with God. Not true. It's a lie. Sounds good, but it's a great lie. And of course, we had this covered in much more detail in the Doctrine of Good in your book. If you go to page 260, you'll see the coin there, nice little coin. The coin's got two sides. The coin is called evil. One side's human good, where the Crusaders operate. And the other side, of course, is sin, which we all understand. But very few people understand that human good is evil, absolutely evil. And there are three elements of human good, starting on page 261. Let's just run those through real quick. If you have your book, you can go to page 261. Those in attendance, I've handed that out to you. And so we have the three elements. The first element is equality, as we noted. And they cry for equality or equity. And that's the common component of human good. It's pure arrogance, obviously. It's pure arrogance. It's all about you and what you think is right. You think the world should be this way, and I don't care what the Bible says. My view is that we should all be equal. Well, who's against that? Well, if you know Bible doctrine, you're against it. If you're in the cosmos, you haven't got a chance. If you don't know Bible doctrine and some idiot comes along and says, oh, we should all work for equality, most people say, oh, that's wrong with that. Yeah, we're all brothers. We're all sisters. No, you're not. The Bible says that's another great lie. We're not all in the family of God. Therefore, we're not all brothers and sisters. And God's not the father of all. Another great lie that comes out of the cosmos. But you see, these are brilliant lies. And if you don't know the Bible, you'll be right down, you'll be S-O-S. Or S-O-L, and you haven't got a chance. So from the human viewpoint, of course, every man's way is right in his own eyes. That's Proverbs 21:2. Yeah, you're right in your own eyes, but that's not the question. Are you right in God's eyes? So you're either going to be in Satan's eyes or you're going to be in God's eyes. And Satan's a super genius. Now, Satan doesn't need to hold classes because it's everywhere. You don't say, oh, I got to go to the class on Satan to figure out how he thinks. No, you don't. It's everywhere. It's in the water. It's in the movies. It's in the theaters. It's in social life. It's everywhere. And on the internet, which is one big garbage tube, man, just Google in, type in something about the Bible, and you'll see weirdos jumping out of the woodwork from A to Z, all sorts of things. And you've got to weasel your way through there to discern what's true and what's not true. But don't worry about it. If you have positive volition, you will get the truth, and it will light you up. If you don't have positive volition, oh yeah, you'll be suckered off very easily. It won't even be hard. And then you'll come up with this stupid stuff. Well, I just can't decide. You've already decided if you say I can't decide. So no, you don't need to go to school for the cosmos. It's inside of you. As we indicated, your old sin nature is schooling you. It's from the get-go. And it's everywhere because Satan is the ruler of the world. His billboards are everywhere. For the divine viewpoint, no, you're not going to find it in the world. You'll find it because God will drop it in your lap. And then you got to decide, will I stick with it or will I not stick with it? And many believers, of course, that are exposed to Bible doctrine, they don't stick with it. They're gone. Just like the other parable we saw with the seed going in the ground. They get excited for a little while, then they're gone. But those that stick with it, they will produce fruit on their tree, and they will have rewards in eternity beyond their imagination, plus rewards in time. A lot of people say, well, you're talking about the fish, you know, the pie in the sky. I want the fish in the dish. Well, you can have them both. You can have the fish in the dish and the pie in the sky, because God wants to give you the fish in the dish, which is your temporal blessings for time. And, of course, you'll have that pie in the sky. Now, I tend to like pie more than fish, but that's me. I like the dessert better than the dinner in most cases. Not every case, but anyway. So this lie about equality, equity, is everywhere. And we go through that, of course, with how Satan duped our grandmother. And you can read those verses for yourself. We're not going to take time today to go through it. But I do want to go to point two, because remember, it's a three-legged stool. Human good is a three-legged stool. That's an important part of Cosmic 2 and these gates we're studying. So the first leg is human. The first leg of human good is equality, equity. What's the second leg on the stool? Well, the second leg on the bar stool is religion. Satan loves religion. He developed religion. He sponsored religion. And what does that say? Well, it's the great lie that by my works, I can get to God. I can appease and please God. I can provide approbation. And God will accept me. He'll open up the pearly gates because he just has to. Because of religion. And then I quote from Dr. Lewis Sperry Schaefer. That's not with an S, it's with a C. There was another teacher out there that, I'll use that word advisedly, was not teaching accurate Bible doctrine whatsoever. This is a different person. It's Schaefer with a C-H-A-F-E-R. He wrote a 4-volume work called Systematic Theology, which, of course, we have in our library here if anybody wants to look at it. And this is a foundation stone, of course, for much of R.B. Thing's study. He's my pastor teacher, and he drew heavily from Dr. Schaefer, who was also the founder of Dallas Theological Seminary before it went off the deep end. What's the deep end? They went into human works and human good. They started out straight on the arrow, but that's what happens to many organizations, Christian organizations. The YMCA, for example, started out as biblically correct, and they went off the deep end. I went to a YMCA one time and looked on the wall at some of the verses they had up there, and a bunch of nonsense. It's all do good now. It's a place for weirdos to hang out, basically, at the gym. And it went sideways. I don't use the term it's gone south, which is an idiom because I'm a Southerner, and that means bad things. So no, it means good things to me. It goes sideways. It's gone. And so if you don't protect against legalism, it'll seep in and destroy organizations. And so Schaefer wrote, great religious activities are possible without coming into complication with saving faith. It is possible to fight against sin and not present the Savior, or to urge the highest scriptural ideals and yet offer no reasonable way of attainment. There is a strange fascination about these undertakings, which are humanitarian and are religious only in form and title. There is a strange attractiveness in the leader who announces that he is not concerned with the doctrines of the Bible. That's Bible doctrine, folk. Because the helping of humanity is his one passion and care. Who could be the God of these systems? That's the first leg, human good. Who is the God of these systems in that thinking? Satan. And then you switch over to the next sentence. Certain religious systems, which are in no way related to the Bible, have continued for millenniums, including the ancient pagan systems and spiritism, have held the devotion of uncounted millions and bear every evidence of being inspired by Satan. The moral problem, which is felt to some degree by every human being, is seized upon by almost every unscriptural system. The idea that man will stand on a basis of personal worthiness has been the chief heresy, opposing the central doctrine of grace from the time of Christ's death to the present hour. It so permeates the church that few who preach are able to exclude it from their attempts at gospel preaching. It is safe to say that wherever the element of human merit is allowed to intrude into the presentation of the plan of salvation, the message is satanic to that extent. The ministers of Satan proclaim personal righteousness as the ground of the individual's right relations to God. And that is, of course, the evil of religion. You work your way to God. And Schaefer put it beautifully. And yes, churches can't. They get sucked into the doctrine of demons. And then we've got the third leg, which is false personal love. And you've heard that. That's from the cosmos as well. Don't worry about Bible doctrine. Just love everybody, and God will love you. They don't understand what love is. We have a whole doctrine on love. They couldn't tell you the difference between personal love and the technical use in regards to impersonal love, the technical use of agape. I don't know. I have no idea. I love you and I love you. They don't know the difference. And if you don't know the difference, you haven't got a chance to get out of the first grade of your Christian spiritual life. That's the relative side of your spiritual growth. You'll never get out. You can't do it. And so, this idea that we're all brothers and love everybody. Look at some of the verses I've got there for you at the very bottom of point C in the blue. But as many, well, says, in fact, every single unbeliever is called the son of the devil in Acts 13:10. So if they're the son of the devil, Are you going to love the son of the devil? No, not with a personal love. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Only believers are the children of God, not the unbeliever. And so we have John chapter 8, verses 44 to 45. You, this is Jesus was speaking to unbelievers, religious leaders, unbelievers, are of your father, the devil. And that's diablos, nice Spanish word, means a slanderer, Satan. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I, that's Jesus, speak the truth, which is Bible doctrine, you do not believe me. And many other passages. So yes, Satan speaks from his own nature. He's the father of lies. God speaks from his own nature. He's the father of light and truth. Who are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to one voice or the other. And if you say again that I'm just going to be neutral, no, you're in Satan's camp. There's no neutrality. You're either with God or you're against God. One or the other. So those are the three legs of arrogance that are wrapped up in the doctrine of human good. But let's go back to our doctrine of the cosmos. And that is set out before us. We had point. Let me get my notes here. I'm getting there. Got lots of notes. Page 123. Back to page 123. And we saw the equality, and that led us into the issue of the other two legs, which is religion and love. And then we've got gate 4. Cosmic degeneration. That's cosmic 2, gate 4, page 123. This is your maximum time in the cosmic system causes immoral degeneration. Immoral degeneration. Now, the moral degenerates, of course, are one thing, and that's what we have too. And or moral degeneration. I've got two passages there. What's the difference? Well, they're both in the cosmos. You can be the best little goody-goody Girl Scout or Boy Scout and in the cosmic system. Just be very moral. But the unbeliever can be moral. Christianity is far beyond morality. And yet people can't break the idea that that's the Christian way of life. I need to be better. I need to strive to do better. No, you don't. You need to get your gluteus maximus to Bible class and study. Don't worry about self-improvement. You will improve, but you've got to improve from the inside out. It doesn't matter about good deeds or good words, all that nonsense. You've got to put Bible doctrine, the mind of Christ, in your brain. Why? Because that's what God commands you to do. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. I've got a better way. Really. So, immoral degeneration, we all recognize what that is. That's the coin of evil, sin. And the moral degenerates is the other side, which is human good. And that's cosmic degeneration. You're going to get sucked into one or the other. They're both evil. It's the coin called evil. Now, of course, in my evil coin, I switch from one to the other. As you do. Sometimes we do sins and we rebound. Sometimes we do human good. Do you rebound from human good? No. You're never commanded to rebound from human good. You rebound from sin. Christ didn't die on the cross for human good. But don't worry, your human good will be dealt with. At the judgment seat of Christ, all the human good that I produce and you produce will be burned up in a nice little bonfire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. No human good will be allowed into eternity. So when do you create human? Human good. You create it when we're in the cosmos. Everything you do is human good. Moral or immoral, it's all human good. When you're here, you create only divine good. Everything you do is divine good. When you commit a sin, you're in the cosmos, and everything you do is human good. So you don't say, Father, I did human good, I'm going to confess that. No, you confess the sin, and then you're put back here. So whatever you did in the cosmos is human good. And it's being stored up. Oh, yeah, here's all your human good. It's all being stored. It's called wood, hay, and stubble. All being stored up. Lots of it. And it'll be dealt with. It'll be dealt with at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll all be burned up. And all of us are going to have a little bonfire. Some of it is going to be pretty fantastic in terms of their bonfire, because they spent their whole life in the cosmos. Everything they did was going to be burned up. They'll be saved. You can't lose your salvation. Hopefully ours will be a little smaller. Well, it will be smaller. because we use the rebound technique. We get the hell out of the cosmos as much as we can, spend as much time as we can here and learn Bible doctrine. But don't worry, we go in the cosmos and we will have human good, but it'll be destroyed. Okay, and then we've got gate 5, demonism. This is deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, of course, we have the doctrine of demonism here, and that should be placed very clearly in your mind. If you want to learn more about the demons, you can go to the doctrine of demonism. Obviously, we're not going to spend time today to do a sidebar on demonism. But you can think the thoughts of demons, and you do think the thoughts of demons when you're in the cosmos. And we just gave you some of the thoughts of demons that are just, you know, something the unbeliever has no chance, and the believer with no Bible doctrine, they have no chance. You just reflect Satan's idea. We're all brothers. No, you're not. Love everybody. You're not commanded to do that. You're commanded to have impersonal love. They mean personal love. They don't know the difference. And so the doctrines of demons, yes, you cannot be demon-possessed if you're a born-again believer. Impossible. The demons cannot possess your physical body. Not to worry about that. But they can fill up your thinking. They can fill you up. It's called mataiotes. And that's a vacuum in your soul, and your vacuum will all... Nature abhors a vacuum. It will be filled up. Your brain will be filled up with the world. Well, actually, it is filled up with the world. You've got to get the world out, which is Bible doctrine, because it's from the get-go. As I indicated, you don't have to go to class to learn what is Satan's thinking. It's everywhere. You're sucking it in. You're drinking it in. It's like fluoride in the water or the chemtrails in the sky. It's there. And then gate 6 is religion. I got to see the doctrine of religion there. And then good and evil really is tied in with gate 3. It's gate 7. Human good is the motivational and functional policy of Satan. And that's the doctrine of good, which we took a sidebar. So as you can see, these cosmic systems are linked together. And they all link together. What's the common denominator? Arrogance. You know better. Cosmic 1, I want simply to please myself. Cosmic 2, I hate Bible doctrine. What little I know, I hate. Now, all these people know the divine institutions, unbelievers and believers. And so that's an easy target to hate. And there are believers that know doctrine, reversionist, and they turn against it. You may have seen them. I don't know. I've encountered some. And they do it to themselves. They take a pistol, aim it at their foot, and pull the trigger and blow their toes right off their feet. So the parable, as we close today, of Luke chapter 18 indicates that concept. Remember, there's two concepts in this parable. The Pharisee is the unbeliever, and the tax collector is the believer. The tax collector realizes his status before God, and the Pharisee unbeliever, he's in the cosmos. He's deep into it. And the irony is, he's supposed to be the one that teaches you how to get out of the cosmos for salvation. And part two, he's supposed to be the one that teaches you Bible doctrine so you can grow up. But see, he's immersed in arrogance. And we studied that in detail, what he was saying to himself. In contrast, we studied the other person. And he's not immersed in arrogance. He's immersed in humility. He realizes exactly who and what he is. He's not judgmental of other people like the Pharisee. And he goes directly to God. And he has positive volition. And he's saved. He is a saved human being. Now, hopefully, this tax collector, of course, and we indicated, you can be an honest tax collector. Just because you're a tax collector doesn't mean you're perpetually in a state of sin. There were honest tax collectors. A lot of them were crooks, but they were honest. He's just doing his job. But everybody hated him for those reasons we discussed before. And he would not be able to associate with any of the good people. So in churches today, just as a sidebar, we have people, everybody has an old sin nature. Most people that attend churches, they don't have the side of the coin with sin as a predominant factor in their sin nature. They don't commit adultery, as this Pharisee said. They're not getting drunk all the time. And so birds of the feather flock together. And the believers that have a trend in their sin nature towards sinning They like to get drunk. They like to fornicate. They like to, you know, do this and do that. Well, they don't go to church, obviously. But these people have every opportunity to learn Bible doctrine, as anybody else does. So that's why churches are generally filled with people that are legalist, because they drive out believers that are on the other side of the coin, and they look down their nose at them, not realizing, as Christ indicated, that even if you do not commit the sin of adultery, if you think it, you're guilty of the sin. Because I'm God and I can read your mind. Same with murder, same with any sin. But it's just humans looking at humans like chickens in a chicken yard. Don't worry about other people. Worry about yourself. You got enough to worry about. Trust me. You have an old sin nature, and you're fighting that every day. And then as you grow up to learn Bible doctrine, well, you've got to regulate your time. And you've got to decide what's important. So it's your relationship to God is what this parable talks about. And has many other deep meanings, as we indicated, and we studied most of those. We pulled them out already. But that's the basic theme of the parable. That God knows the mind. God knows the heart. He looks at the inward, not the outward. From the outward appearance, everybody would say the Pharisee's in heaven. And got it made. I'm going to listen to him. I'm not going to follow anything, the tax collector says. Yet the tax collector understands the gospel. He understands God far better than the Pharisee. And he's the one that's saved, and the other one's not saved. So many, many, many people will find themselves in hell and not in heaven. And I'm talking about religious people. Why? But that's what they want. They're in the cosmos. They don't want to get out of the cosmos. They're filled with arrogance from A to Z. And they have their own idea. And they reject God. And they work against God. These Pharisees of Jesus' day, they were working against God, even to the point that they wanted to kill God, which is Jesus of Nazareth. They wanted to kill him. They plotted to murder him. And on that period, what we call Palm Sunday, when he came in, a lot of information in the scriptures about what happened during those couple of days from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. He was put on the cross on Wednesday. Remember, he was preparing for the Passover supper. The Passover was on the day that he was crucified. At sundown, at 6 o'clock, is when the Passover started, but they were doing the preparation. When Jesus went to the temple after Palm Sunday, that's when they really revved up the engine to murder him. And that's the very people that are supposed to be presenting the Bible. They're going to murder the Son of God. And of course, you can't murder the Son of God. They plotted to murder him. As Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down voluntarily for you. And he died for the sins of those Pharisees and everybody for equal opportunity. But the Pharisee just doesn't want it in this parable. Whereas a tax collector, he wants it. And he asks God for it, and he gets it. He gets it, as we all do. So as believers, and we're all believers in this church, what do you want? Well, you can say, I want to be saved. Well, that's already happened. You've got eternal security. Do you want part two or not? Now, we don't know if the tax collector went on to part two or not. We know he's in part, we know he's grabbed a hold of category two truth, which is the gospel. We just don't have the rest of the story. But you'll see him in heaven. And you can say, hey, Haas, how'd the rest of the thing turn out? Now, will you see this person in heaven? Well, not this one, because this is a parable. They're not real people. But you'll see tax collectors that were saved in heaven. For 10 points in the game, who will you see in heaven that you know will be there when there was a tax collector? Matthew. He was a tax collector. He wrote the book of Matthew. Good job. All right, with our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying this parable. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us by these things in Christ's name. Amen.